Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I got another comic link shipment. I was pretty pleased with this. I think what I'm finding is with these graded comics, I'm more discouraged with the higher graded books because I would grade them lower personally, and I'm more happy with the lower graded books because they're more like where I would grade it. So I think that's going to change a lot of what I go after. unless the price is right. But I recently got some old Batman. These are ones that I'm using to fill my Batman collection. Really, really cool covers. They're Joker covers. One's a Penguin cover. I got Batman 136, which is has a Batmite appearance in it. It's a Bill Finger story with Sheldon Moldoff on covers and also on the art. And this is a 4.0 I won on auction on Comic Link, and it's very, very. It's a really nice copy for what I like. To me, it looks better than a 4.0, but I'll find out when I open it up and crack that open this weekend. I then got a 3.5 CGC Batman 163. This is a Bill Finger and Sheldon Moldoff, also a Joker story. It has a Batwoman appearance and Batgirl appearance. And this one has, well, the one cover that I missed talking about, it's 136. It has Joker flying like this ship. Joker ship that's in the form of a Joker face shooting at Batman and Robin, and it's a challenge of the Joker, and Robin's he's shooting fire out of its mouth, and Batman and Robin are caught in the middle of this huge inferno of fire. And it says, and Robin says, "It's the Joker on a sky sled. He's trapping us in a ring of fire." And it burns, burns, burns. That ring of fire. That ring of fire. I love that song. I even like remakes of that song. But Johnny Cash singing that, oh man, it's awesome. Mike Ness singing that, pretty damn awesome too. And I saw him in concert. So this next cover, Batman 163, which I've already introduced, has Joker on the stand. He is the judge. And Batman's on trial along with Joker. And there's a bunch of Jokers in the jury. There's a bailiff that's a Joker, and Robin's in the background handcuffed, and Batman's coming to the foreground. One thing you notice is that they don't have their utility belts on, and Batman says, "A Joker judge and a Joker jury?" And Joker says, "Yes, Batman, I'm giving you a fair trial." And at the top it says extra Batgirl and Batwoman 2. Very cool. This one I thought I had, but I didn't. It's the second Silver Age appearance of the Penguin. This is from 1965. Its cover is Carmen Infantino and Murphy Anderson. The art interior is Win Mortimer and Sheldon Moldoff, and the story is Jack Schiff and France Huron. And this one isn't a CGC, this is a CBCS. This one is a 6.0, and I think my 4.0 looks better. So it's hard to tell with these grading books, at least in my opinion, because they're all. This one has really tight corners, and everything looks good. It just says off-white to white pages. The back looks really pristine. That's the big difference. The back looks really nice. The binding looks really tight, except for right near Batman's cape, there's a divot in the cover. I mean, a little divot. It's not even a tear, it's like just a little, I don't know how to describe it. But this has Penguin on the cover, and Penguin's running from Batman and Robin. And this Batman has the yellow utility belt and the yellow emblem with the bat black. He's throwing a batarang at Penguin, and Penguin's saying, "So long, friends. I'm off on a joyride to feather my crime nest with this jeweled meteorite." The Penguin, that pompous waddling master of foul play, is back again as he traps Batman and Robin into becoming his unwitting partners in plunder. So I won that one too. Really cool. Be breaking those guys out of the cases very, very soon because I like to free them. Comics are meant to be read. And also in front of me, I have a hardcover, which I don't even think I have the other editions. This is interesting. These are original graphic novels of Thanos. And there was a Thanos, the Infinity Finale OGN, which I don't have. There's a Thanos and the Infinity Relativity, that one I don't have. And a Thanos, the Infinity Revolution. And this one's called Thanos the Infinity Siblings, and it's got Star Fox on there by Jim Starlin and Alan Davis, with inks by Mike Farmer, and I think colors by Cyan Dusk. So this will be my first original graphic novel in those four. And it says still available, the first trilogy. So maybe I should get in on that. And then I was listening to a podcast today, and it was turned out to be an interview, and I'm like, ah. And I think there's a reason I don't listen to interviews, because people actually, and just I'll keep it enjoying their book, and they'll say stuff that actually make me not want to read their books. It's weird on the majority of stuff, unless the only, like I said, was that Rick Remender interview. I don't know why I liked it so much, but he really pitched it like something I'd really want to see. But I continue not to like interviews. I don't know why. It's like I don't want to know. I'd rather have a preview, read previews magazine. I don't even read like websites that say, "Oh, here's some new stuff." Like, the only time I go to Newsarama is if they have an early DC solicit or Marvel solicit. And then what I kind of like to see is what the trades are, what the trades are going to be for that month for some reason. I don't know why. But I'm a weird monkey, man. I'm very different. I have illogical likes. I'm a very logical person when it comes to everything else, engineering and math, and I'm very logical, but when it comes to collecting, very illogical. Doesn't make sense. I can't even make sense of myself. But this was going to be a relatively short one. Just wanted to show you what my latest Harley's saying, come play with me. So I think I'm going to go do that. I have two Mike M's in the can already, and I have a Geek Brunch. So I think the next one I'll be releasing is a Geek Brunch podcast where Bill gives us some hip hop love, and you can look forward to that. And what else is going on? I don't even know what I'm doing this weekend. I just know that I don't want to work, and I really should work, but I don't want to work this weekend. I am really behind, but I was able to offload some work to some people. I didn't want to. I like to have ownership of my work, and it's hard for me to to delegate it, even though I'm empowered to do so and say, just take over this. But sometimes I just have to because I'm overbooked, and you realize you're overbooked, and the schedule is very tight. And I just say, I'm going to have to give up something I really like. And well, that's the breaks. So it's just weird how that happens. My last few Fridays have been really weird. And then I got home fairly early for me. I was home a little after 6. I had had to stop off at the FedEx store and go there to get these books. They pack Comic Link really does a superb job of packaging. Really, really superb. And man, I wish I could just keep buying. I know another auction's up, and I went on this Avengers kick, and I have been trying very hard to get the first Vision. I want the first Vision appearance. And that collection, I've along with FF, that seems to be a tear right now, but at the same time, I want to fill in some Batman holes. I'm getting in the mood for some Batman. I was listening to Gotham by Geeks, and it was a Man-Bat special, and some guy wrote a really cool letter into them talking about the Power Records record that he had of Man-Bat. And he was talking about the shrieks that Man-Bat did on the album. So Power Records was a lot of comics came out. It was a comic book, so you'd be able to read along, and it had a record that went along with it. And I think I only owned two. I owned one that, if I remember correctly, it was like a monster one. Like, I can't remember if it's Dracula or Frankenstein, but it was something in that vein. It might have been a Werewolf by Night. I'm gonna have to check. I'm gonna check to see if that was the case. But I knew it was a monster one when I was real little, and then I had the Man Bat. But I don't know what happened to the Man Bat. So when he was describing the shriek, I knew exactly what it was. I wanted to to buy that. I want to buy that. So if I run across that Man Bat Power Record, it's snowing, by the way. We've had some weather like in the 70s, really, really nice. And then today we had like blizzard-like condition. It's not really accumulating a lot, but it's like blowing a lot of snow. Sucks. Or else I'd be out on the deck reading some comic books. I'm really looking forward to doing that this summer on a nice day. God, I love doing that. I miss the chickens though. Our neighbor used to have chickens, and I'd go out there in the morning, and you hear those chickens just going to town, I don't know, a sense of peace. Now I just disrupt the birds. The birds, although when I'm sitting on the swing, birds and they realize the birds realize I'm not going to do anything. They do come close. Especially those hummingbirds, they don't give a fuck, man. They'll just zoom past your ear and they just don't care. So, yeah, that's what I did. I did that today, and then I also stopped off at the comic shop to get my weekly books. And I think this is the last time I'm getting dual covers on Supergirl because of the Art Germ cover. I've been getting two of those. The last batch I got a bunch of because there was some really, really good cover Bs. This time I didn't do any shopping because I was very worried because of the wind. It was very windy today, and I thought I'd come home to a busted fence because that tends to happen out here. We get these winds that are like 60 miles an hour, and it knocks down fences. And then today was trash day, so I thought my trash can would be like four doors down, Like the last time the wind happened, we had our neighbor's trash can in our yard for like 4 days until we put a sign on it saying, "If this is your trash can, come pick it up." So, yeah, I picked up comics there. There was a little kid there. I was like, "Why the fuck is this kid wearing shorts?" He was a high school guy, kid that just ran in. It was just a weird. He ran in. He asked the guy, "Do you have Spider-Man Deadpool or Deadpool Spider-Man? I don't know." And he goes, "Yeah, it's on this shelf right here." And the kid goes back there. I don't know if he was just trying to keep warm, like waiting for a ride or something. I think that's what he was doing. And then he comes up and he said, "Did you find what you needed?" And he goes, "Oh, I have 1 through 6, but I don't have any money." So he was just trying to kill time. And then he asked for, like, "Do you have any Rick and Morty paraphernalia?" And I said, "They probably have some pops." And they did. They had I don't know, like, Rick and Morty, but I know of them and I know where they have stuff. So, like, as a comic dude and pop culture guy, I'm pretty well rounded. Like, I know what everything is. I don't know how to appreciate. I don't watch a lot of cartoons unless it's superhero related. But I pointed him to the even the kid that was working there thought they didn't have any, and I said, "No, they have some pops over there." So I like know the store really well. I could probably work there. Maybe someday I will when I retire. I could just hang out at the comic store once or twice a week, and maybe instead of getting paid, get paid in books or something to that effect. Could be fun, just hanging out for 2 days. The Dink convention is happening this weekend, but I don't think I'm going. I didn't prepare for it. I didn't plan for it. I don't know why I didn't, because there's Matt Kent, there's several creators there, Amy Reeder. I mean, I'm sure my friend Jay Straczynski is going to be there. I could probably run into some people I know that are into Valiant in Denver, but I didn't plan ahead of time, so probably won't happen. So I'm just rambling. Don't know if I have much other stuff to say. It was a really short stack of DC comics this week. It got Birds of Prey, New Superman, Red Hood and the Outlaws, Titans, Supergirl. I got the two covers. I'm really curious to see if the Man of Steel that's coming out, because it's going to be out every. I haven't placed my DCBS order yet. Man, I can imagine what DCBS is going through. Their move has been detrimental to fans. And it's sort of detrimental to me, not because I'm missing anything. I did miss something and stuff early on, but they were able to fix it. They fixed stuff for me. And but now they switched, and I understand they switched shippers because they wanted to keep the cost low to us, which is fair. But for me personally, I prefer FedEx to UPS. They're faster. I always get my stuff on time. FedEx is always on time. UPS, it's a crapshoot, man. It's like, I don't know if it's the distance between here and there, but it may or may not be on time. And DCBS sent a note saying they're going to be a couple days late because they got stuff from their distributor late. Man, they must be going through a lot of stuff. And then they had the rubber band fiasco. I gotta tell you about that. I got my shipment late, but I heard other people online, mostly in the Facebook groups, talking about DCBS putting a rubber band around the books and damaging the books. So when I got mine, I was really worried because they changed their shipping, and I was very concerned. They used to take a magazine bag and then tape it really tight so things wouldn't move, And then you'd either get it in these their typical chemical based packaging with like surrounds the book so they can't move in the box at all, or you get it in bubble, not bubble wrap, but peanut shells. Usually for me, the peanut shells come in if there's hardcore books like an omnibus or several hardcovers, or if there's a statue or some kind of toy, Eagle Moss figure, then they'll put it in bubble wrap, which is all good. But what they changed is now they put the comics in a bun in small bundles, like so they'll bundle like 10 together, and I get like 50, 60 books a week. So you'll have these bundles, they're packaged together. They're in shrink wrap now, so they're actually sealed. I don't know how they do it, but they seal it. And after they seal it, let's see, Barb's texting me real quick. She's probably on her way, so I'll be hanging up here real quick. She might even be here. But what was I talking about? Oh, it's shrink wrapped, and then they put two backing boards, not half backs, but just a regular backing board on the back and the front, and then they put a rubber band around it. And the backing boards exceed the comic length, so but I thought it was gonna damage the books. Well, when I unpacked mine, they were beautiful. So maybe some people complain because they packed them incorrectly, and maybe even though the backing board is bigger than the comic book, then it was damaging the middle parts of the top and bottom of the book. So Harley's barking, Barb's home, and I'm gonna hang up now. I'll talk to you in a bit with the weekly reads. Bye. And we're back. So let's get to the weekly reads. We'll bring this sucker up, and this was an interesting a week 6/12 through 6/18. This had to be Heroes Con, as my guess is in June, because I only read one comic for a total of one. Batman number 511. It was a 0 hour tie-in. Batgirl was no longer in the wheelchair. Joker killed James Gordon instead of crippling Barbara. Barbara and Bruce in a relationship. Or they played on that too in The Killing Joke. Oracle's still around. Gordon is alive again. Harvey's still DA. Time keeps going in and out, and Batman gets in an old Batmobile and heads to Metropolis. And that's how that ended. So that was a 4 out of 5, and it was DC Comics from June 12th through June 18th. Only one book. That has to be a record. I wonder if there was a week I didn't read anything. Let's see here. That's 21, 2, 3. So 23. The following week was June 19th through June 25th. And we had a total of 23 comics and 8 Marvel. Two I put as KC because they were self-published, Keith Cunningham, and I don't remember what the company was that he published under. One Dynamite, 10 DC, one Bergen, and one All Negro Comics. So we'll start at the bottom. There's 2 out of 5s. Interesting. Wow, that must have been a hard week. I had 3 2 out of 5s, which means I don't like it. Secret Empire Uprising. The champions go undercover with Hydra singing choir, and it fell flat. And that's really weird. Must have not liked it. I don't even remember it. This one I'm surprised about because I don't remember hating this. Justice League Task Force number 36. Triumph tries to stop a missile Martian Manhunter, Ray and Gypsy, along with Warlord, take out Quantum and Skitaris. Take on Quantum and Skitaris, which is the place that they live in. I'm surprised that's a 2 out of 5 because it sounds very good. But I guess I really didn't like it. Batman 23. This is a team up with Swamp Thing to discover his dad's murder. All voices of characters were totally off and took me completely out of the story. Another Tom King book that I didn't like. But on positive note, at the 3 out of 5s, Batman 24, I liked it. It's a low 3 out of 5. I mean, it's not I didn't really like it, but I at least liked it. And this was Batman working with Gotham Girl. I liked the story, but the dialogue again took me out of the story. Same with the Catwoman proposal. Another 3 out of 5 is Iceman number 1. Tries to get a life and go dating, but runs into a purifier and they fight. Strange Places number 1 and 2. These were an anthology I bought from Keith Cunningham at his con. I can't remember if this Heroes Con or Baltimore. It's probably Heroes Con. And it was an anthology of Twilight Zone sci-fi stories. A very interesting set of stories. There were some I liked more than others, and it balanced it out to a 3 out of 5. We go into 4 out of 5s. Revenger. This is a Charles Forsman book. A little more different than what you're used to seeing with him. That's suicide or depression. This is more of a superhero where you call a 1-800 number and you get her help. It's a Punisher type character. And I read that trade paperback. That was from Bergen Press. We have Generation X, number 2, volume 2. The team fights the Redeemers at the facility. Quentin Quire almost kills all the Redeemers. We have Cable, number 1. They're going after a trail of death throughout time as someone giving futuristic weapons to evil people and then leaving a trail of destruction. Cable is on the chase. Hey, we have a Batman number 25. That's a 4 out of 5. So hey, that I really liked a Batman. So there are three Batman I read, and this one I really liked. Bruce explains to Catwoman about his encounter with Joker Riddler in the past in War of the Jokes and Riddles. The next one we have is Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man number 1, an issue where Peter tries to establish his life. Spider-Man sets up a date with a female comedian. Their web shooters fail and fixed by Tinker's brother Mason. Talks with Johnny, that's the Human Torch. Misses a date with Johnny, but he runs into Peter's sister. So that's when they talked about Peter Parker having a sister, and it was an interesting cliffhanger, and I wanted more, and I didn't buy this. Like, I wasn't gonna subscribe to this, but I picked it up at the shop just for shits and giggles and read it. No, this came in a box. That's why I read it. This came in a Marvel Funko box, and I read it, and I really liked it, and it surprised the hell out of me. And I subscribed to it since. We have International Iron Man number 1. Tony tries to find his biological parents. We have Green Arrow number 110. This is the one that I was missing, and I bought from mycomicshop.com. It was a hard traveling heroes as Connor and Kyle go to visit Desolation. Hal and Ollie visited a racist town. That's the racist town. And it's one of those cities where it's like the number one city for suing people. So it's like a suing city where people sue each other. And they are looking for Kyle's father, and they find him at the end of the story. The next one we have. I was watching a documentary, and it's All Negroes Comics number 1, and it was by Orin C. Evans, 1947. It's the first all African American created comic that featured Ace, Harlem Detective, Sugarfoot, Snake Oil, Lion Man, and Bubba and Dew Dillies. And when they talked about this being the first, I had to get a copy. And it's like a $28,000 comic book. So how did I get a copy? I found out that they reproduced it, another publisher, in a big giant size type magazine, thick stock, and it was a reprint. And I decided I could afford that, and I bought it, and I really enjoyed that comic. And it was fascinating from an historical point of view. It was one where one of the things that was very interesting about this is it had a lot of success. So why wasn't there a number two? Because they found out that it was an all black done comic book, and the publishers were white, and they decided they weren't going to publish any more of this comic book because it was done by blacks. That's a damn shame, isn't it? Secret Empire number 3 and 4. Steve attacks Namor to find a shard of the cosmic cube, destroys Atlantean shrine, which causes Namor to hand over the shard. Black Widow continues to train the champions. Steve after Black Widow and using the Punisher. They have dinner with Hank Pym, Ultron, which is an uncomfortable dinner with the two sides fighting. Captain Marvel says Guardians sends Guardians to get help, but they are not able to. Remember what I mean by the Guardians? Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh, that's what it was. Captain Marvel was an Alpha Flight, and she was in the space station, and they had put a shield over Earth, so Captain Marvel and Alpha Flight couldn't go back to Earth. So she asked help from the Guardians of the Galaxy, and they were out there trying to recruit members so they can get back down to Earth. All-Star Squadron number 10 from DC Comics. An alien eye ship is rendering military ships and planes inoperable. Hawkman and Starman, both serving in the Air Force, and save a B-52 bomber. Shining Knight and Johnny Quick stop a bomb from exploding. Dr. Midnight fights a kamikaze, and eye fights Germans and Russians. That's the alien eye ship. We have Young All-Stars number 25. This was a comic book that featured a lot of the younger Young All-Stars, and it was by Roy Thomas in the 90s, I believe, early 90s. It had a pretty good run. I think it was, I don't know, 30 some issues or so. I should just look it up. Let's go see what Young All-Stars ran. I have a full run of it, I know that. And All-Star Squadron as well. And these were issues I got from my comic shop that I had holes in the original collection and I filled them. So All-Star Squadron wasn't in the 90s. It ran from 1987. So we're talking like closely after Crisis on Infinite Earths, and ran to 1989. And ran for probably 24 issues, well, 31 issues in one annual. Cool deal. We have All-Star Squadron number 8. This had the Shining Knight, Robot Man, Hawk Girl, Johnny Quick try to prevent Winston Churchill from getting assassinated by the Black Assassin. Commander Still saves the day. Kung is a shape changer sent to dispose of him, but saved again by Steel. It has the origin of Steel from Implosion Steel 6 and 7 that were never published. So the origin of Steel was in this book from an unpublished, the DC Implosion. If you ever heard about that, this had that information. So it was a way to print something they already had. Let's see. And it had Baron Blitzkrieg as one of the villains. We then get to the 5 out of 5s. We have All-Star Squadron number 3. And this is Per Degaton, goes back in time right before Pearl Harbor to have the Japanese invade the U.S. He brings Wotan, who's the Doctor Strange villain, Solomon Grundy, Sky Pirate, and Professor Zodiac with him to defeat the JSA. Wontan puts the GSA into a coma on an island. Shining Knight tries to free them after escaping the sub, but Spectre frees them. JSA goes after Perdegaton, but he returns to 1947 before they can get to him. We have from DC Comics, Dark Days, The Forge, number one. This was Batman uncovering the secret of the Nth metal, which is the Hawkman metal that allows him to fly and heal. Joker is in the cave, and GL is assigned to go there by the Guardians of the... I was going to say the Guardians of the Galaxy. These are the Guardians, the GLA Guardians. And it has some Hawkman backstory as well. The number one, 5 out of 5 for June 19th through June 25th is Sword Quest number one. A guy who is dying seeks out his childhood friends at a book signing about video games and wants them to help break into a museum and steal the sword from his childhood. They found out he is dying. A mysterious man on a motorcycle sees they must find the sword, and it has callbacks to the time of Atari video games, and is just absolutely fantastic. So, again, the 5 out of 5s were All-Star Squadron number 3 from DC Comics. We have Dark Days the Forge number 1 from DC Comics. And the number 1 book for that week was Sword Quest number 1 from Dynamite Comics. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you want to reach me, you can reach me at Mike Myers Brunch on the Twitter machines. My email is mike@comicbooknoise.com. You can send me questions to both places. I'd really appreciate it. As you can see in this episode, well, actually in the next episode, we answered several of listener questions, and it took a whole episode. So I really appreciate it. It gives me topics to discuss, and anytime you forward it to me, they will get answered. I put them in the queue to answer them on a future episode. I think that's about it. Oh, the website is geekbrunchpodcast.com. You can leave an iTunes review for geekbrunchpodcast.com. If you do leave an iTunes review for Geek Brunch Podcast, please put which show you like, whether it be Geek Brunch Retro, which goes over books of the past with me, Chris Ivey, and Rob Krieger, or whether it be Geek Brunch, which is me and Bill Bomer, or if it's Mike M's Weekly Reads, or Mike M's Collector's Corner. That's where you would leave feedback, like a positive review, if you get a chance. And I think that's about it. We have a Facebook page at Geek Brunch Podcast. And click the like button. You can follow all the episode threads there. And that's about it. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.